The Meat Improv!
Hello and welcome to The Meat Improv with me, Josh Simpson.
And me, Jake Jabor.
The Meat is the improv and storytelling podcast where we bring on comedian guests to tell true meaty stories from their lives. And then what do we do with those stories, Jake?
We use those stories as inspiration for long-form improvised comedic scenes.
That's right. Oh, it's a hoot. If you're into the show, you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/TheMeatImprov. Where for $5, you can get access to a little side show we call The Potatoes, where Jake and I do some improv and talk about just stuff we're teaching, stuff we're thinking about. And maybe in a recent episode, we talked about mistakes we made in a show. So there you go. Patreon.com/TheMeatImprov for all of that. Let's get into our show. This is a very special show. I say that a lot, but I mean it today. And I mean it every time, but you'll see in a second. today, our guests are, I would say, one of my first teacher, maybe my first coach in L.A.
Yeah, I think so.
And anywhere, because I never got coached before that, but also from Goliath, the Herald Team Gravy, and Assembly at UCB, Julie Brister. Welcome, Julie.
Hi, thank you. Hi, thanks for Julie. Having me. Hi.
Thanks for being here.
That was a deep pull.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, gravy. I'm trying to think, like, yeah, like the gravy was the first team I was on here. I think
that was there was a Herald team of teachers mostly, right?
Yeah, it was mostly New York people.
I still remember a scene you did with Brett Christensen about like the specifics of clowning, and between the two of you, Brett knew you had so many specifics about like historical clowns in theater that like in the audience, I was just like, I don't think I can ever do this. but I always remember that.
I think like I was in a clown ministry.
In the scene or in real
life? In real life. So like I do have a handle on clowning.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you remembered the scene and that was going to be maybe the most impressive thing that's ever happened on this podcast.
I don't. I'm sorry, but like I have dropped that clown ministry story before.
That's really funny. Well, that explains how you and Brett knew so much. Our second guest, someone who's been a friend of the show for a very long time, someone who we've seen come up through the UCB classes and We Improv and everything, one of my favorite people to watch. I think I've even referenced scenes that you've done in The Potatoes and stuff like that, Andy. Not to build you up too much here, but it's Andy Morrison. Welcome, Andy.
Yay! Hey, hello.
Hi, Andy.
Hi.
Welcome. Great to have you on.
Yeah.
Incredible to be here. A dream come true.
Andy, of course, has kids and grandkids and a whole, well, good career. But no, I'm just kidding. Thank you, Andy. That means a lot. We talked a little bit at the beginning. I don't want to bite on anyone's story too much. I've been just completely engrossed in a job that I've been doing that I guess I won't talk about on the air just yet, but I might need a little help getting into some small talk this week is what I'm trying to say. I don't know if we could talk about it. Usually I have a whole thing. I guess we could talk about, you want to talk about vaccinations? That's what everyone's talking about. Do you want to talk about Andy's court stories, or we can just not talk about that at all, Andy? I don't know what,
I think here's a question I have for people, and maybe I've asked other guests, but is there anything that you feel like, well, I had a year to do this thing and I didn't get it? Like, is there anything you're still putting off?
Yeah. Oh yeah, right. Like, don't we like at the beginning of the pandemic, I finished a screenplay, like, and then I did a second draft, and I've not touched it in months.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I also finished a pilot class, and like I sort of finished the pilot and have never touched it again. So there's a lot that I have like just totally put off.
Okay.
I just don't have the energy for it anymore.
Yeah. But you said you did some stuff early on to like make like that. This would have been the time for me to like go through my closets and be like,
oh yeah,
maybe throw out these, like I still have text, like books from college that like they're textbooks, but I don't know why I'm beating around the bush. It says like used on it. It was bought at Colorado State 15 years ago. And it's a philosophy book, as if the internet doesn't exist. And I can't be like, I wonder, like I need a refresher on epistemology. Like I should... That I've had a year where I could be like, get rid of some of this stuff. And like, it feels like the clock is ticking on, like, we're going to return to things. And I'm going to be like, I didn't, if it didn't happen, then it's not happening. So I'm always curious about like, and my other fear is I didn't get to finish all the shows I wanted. And I'm going to want to be somebody who's like, I don't think I'm going to go out. I kind of want to finish whatever. And people are going to be like, you had a year to watch television, like come out for brunch or whatever. So I'm mostly nervous about the stuff that I'm going to be like, I should have got that done. I'll do it now. And people will be like, not now. So I'm curious if other people have those.
Yeah, I have not gotten shit done at all whatsoever. It's terrible. At first it was sort of like, well, at first it was going to be short, but then once it looked like it was going to be a little longer, it's like, I should really start reading more and catching up with all the music I haven't paid attention to for decades. Now's the time to like jump in. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
The one thing we did was my daughter and I, she's 20 and she's home. You know, she's doing college from our house. And we did get through the Avengers, you know, 30 whatever movies or whatever.
The Marvel movies?
The Marvel, yeah. The Marvel Cinematic Universe movies from beginning to end in chronological order. Although we are 45 minutes from the end of Endgame, and she hates the part where Tony Stark dies. So we are like, it's been almost 2 weeks.
Spoiler. Since we
cut that part out. No,
maybe I will put a little audio snippet in there of Endgame spoiler coming in 10 seconds. But I just did that, and you'll hear that before this. I don't care. I'd never seen it. So were you a Marvel guy before that, Andy? Were you? Or
Yeah. I think I have always liked comic-y movies and stuff like that. I loved, as a teenager, I loved just going to the liquor store and buying comics every week. And so I was, you know,
the liquor store. Wow.
Yeah.
What a combo.
Yeah.
But my childhood was like a little bit like things were different in those days, I think. They let you go to liquor stores and
but was it because comics were maybe I'm basing this on my knowledge of Cavalier and Clay, the book I read. But is that because comics were sort of considered like trashy in a way? Like not trashy, but when they first came out, people were like, this isn't good for kids, that type of thing.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the liquor store sold candy. And so I got candy and, comic books. But the comic books were, yeah, there was very, it was, they were 12 and a half cents each.
Wow. If you wanted one? Could you get one?
Yeah, I think it's either 13 or 15 cents. I don't remember how they figured that out.
What was your favorite?
I was a big Spider-Man guy, very much into Spider-Man. And What else? Silver Surfer, all the Marvel, even back then, Marvel, I thought was a much better product overall, the Marvel people. There were some okay DC ones, but now that they've turned them into movies, it's like no contest at all between the two franchises. It's almost crazy how much better Marvel, like they figured out how to do it, and then DC is like trying to copy it constantly, but it's just at least that's how I see it.
Did you watch the Snyder Cut, Andy?
I have not seen that yet.
I watched the first half and I was like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I mean, the first half is 2 hours, so felt like I watched a movie. What was I going to say? I met Stan Lee once. I don't think I've ever told this on the story, on the meet, but he did a Funny or Die video back when I worked at Funny or Die.
It was sort about of, to say, this sounds like a Funny or Die story.
Anytime I met anyone cool, it was it was me working for like $100 a day at Funny or Die, getting to meet Stan Lee. But he came in, as did everyone in those days. That like, I don't know. Too many cool people came in through those doors that like had no business doing tiny skits. But the novelty of celebrities doing a sketch for the internet was just so great that people couldn't resist. but Stan Lee came in, and it was one of those times where you meet someone and you're like, I'm not a huge fan. I get it. I like Spider-Man and I respect it. But like, I know that I had like friends that would be like, you met Stan Lee? that would like freak out over it. But I spent most of the time protecting a writer. Not most of the time, but I remember a big amount of my anxiety. The writer who was working on that sketch was like using their computer as like to work with the teleprompter. So like they were like, do you get what I'm saying? Like, their computer was hooked up to the teleprompter. So their computer was like being used in public, and behind the tabs that they were using were open porn tabs. And I had
to, they couldn't just close the porn tabs, or he didn't want to lose his place.
This person didn't clock it. So I was put in the position to be like, person, definitely not saying a name because they've been on the show, that narrows it down. I was just like, I had to like slyly in a room full of people, Stanley and his handlers, be like, close. There's something behind the program that perhaps like without saying it. So anyway, a big part of my interaction with Stanley was me trying to get an idiot to close the porn tabs that were, could have been seen by everybody. It was just one click of a mouse.
Oh,
so there you go.
I'm kind of sorry that it wasn't exposed. That like, because that we would still be telling that story. Well, you are telling that story today, but we would be telling the story with names.
Yeah, he probably doesn't remember and wouldn't care, but
yeah. Probably would have changed the trajectory of the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe if Stan Lee had got a glimpse at pornography.
Yeah, it may have made him live just a little longer.
Yeah, he was old then.
Yeah, he lived a long, long time.
I'm trying to think, back to your original question, Jake, anything that I haven't like done, like everything and nothing. I'm with Julie. Like I got almost done with this pilot that you helped me with, Jake, and I just haven't quite crossed the T's and dotted the I's on that thing. But I actually am in a position where, like, from where this started to where I am now, I feel like I'm actually like have done a lot of the stuff that I've been trying to do. And now that we're coming back to normal, I'm sort of like, oh, like I'm not as excited as I should be in
it's panicky. Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if I'll be able to make a video every week if I'm like driving all over town, going to auditions and stuff like that. Like that's,
oh, I don't think we're going to be in any casting rooms for another couple of years.
A couple of years. You think so?
Not the rest of this year. I just don't see it. Like, I feel like casting office performances have been spoiled by actors doing their own goddamn self-tapes.
That's, I was just talking to someone today and she was like, I had to do all these auditions and they basically want you to shoot the commercial in. She's like, I had to get lighting and do all the, like, I needed a spit. She's like, I'm running the whole fucking thing. And I was like, oh yeah.
And you hear nothing back.
Sometimes you very, very rarely, if it's a commercial, like I'm so bad. Like, I feel like the commercial, should I even be saying this? They're so demanding.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
They're so demanding. And sometimes you'll get something, like I got one like 9 p.m. that was due the next morning at 10. And I was like, you want me to do what? And I didn't have lights yet. Like I didn't have a light. And I was like, what do you want me to do? You want me to get up at 7?
Yeah.
Which is what I did. But like the whole time I'm like, is this better than driving back from Santa Monica at 4 p.m.?
Oh my goodness, I got a casting call. I got a casting call, roommates.
Oh, a casting call.
A casting call.
A casting call.
A casting call. A casting call.
I see a little bird poke its head out its nest.
A casting call.
The mailman stops.
A casting call.
A mouse pops his head out of a hole. A casting call.
Okay, somebody's getting casted.
This is great. Everybody stay close because I might need you. It says that I've basically got to shoot the commercial. It's for Domino's Pizza. What is happening?
You should probably, there's some tabs open. Tabs open behind.
Oh yeah,
you're showing us.
Oh,
oops.
Oops. The bird goes back in its nest. The mailman looks the other way.
I'm gonna go mouse. Back to my room.
Mouse goes back in its home. Jake, why'd you call us in here?
Shoot. Okay. Sorry about that. That is pornography. I'm just gonna see if I can't close this tab. Copied the link. Oh, airdropped it to everybody. Sorry.
Oh, what the fuck?
What are you watching? This is stepsister stuff. Come on.
It's on the free page. It's on the free page. I don't get to pick the storyline.
I'm sharing my screen in a Zoom meeting. God damn it.
Mom, I'm so sorry. I'll call you later and explain.
We see the robin gets kicked out of its nest by another robin with like a bread roller and a hat on. The mailman is nervous.
I'm sorry, everybody. Okay.
Jesus.
Sorry.
Come on, get it together.
Okay. I should have closed it out by now. Okay. Now let's see. Casting. Okay, it's for Domino's Pizza. And basically it's a new, they're accepting that their new recipe has also become unappealing to people, so they're doing a new stuff. Let's see. Hold on.
Domino's is doing a new. new. The robin's back in his wife. Sweetheart.
Wait,
the mailman.
The mouse.
It says that they're asking you to help with the recipe, though.
Yeah, we've got to make a pizza.
Come on. They got to take some responsibility. Not on you.
Well, not just on me. We'll get that bird in here with that rolling pin. We'll get the mailman in here. We'll get everybody together. We'll make a pizza. Oh, hold on. My trial subscription to Twisties pornography has expired. Let me hold on.
Twisties?
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 Twisties, the bird. Twisties.
Sorry.
Are you just refusing to close those links? Are you saving your place for later or something? Like,
Is it like a good story, or is like you're really invested in where they were in their process?
Yeah, I don't want to have to scrub to find the same place in the story. What am I going to bookmark it? Then it's there forever. I want to watch it on my time from where I left off. I apologize, everybody.
He drops the link in his airdrops the link again to everybody.
Whoops.
Oh, damn it.
Sorry. Let me just.
The bird comes in through a window and shuts the door. In trouble.
I don't know what twisties is either.
Sorry. I'm really sorry. Let me.
This is the same kind of porn as last time, too.
Sorry.
I thought you said you had a membership of some kind.
A trial membership. I had a trial membership. I don't know if it's something I want to commit to financially for a longer period of time. That's why I have to see how the story ends. I'm sorry.
I'm still stuck on twisties because that's what I use to close the bread.
Great. That's great. Let's think dominoes. We close the bread with twisties. Plastic twisty. I thought they're twisty bread.
That would work too.
I'm very sorry about this. Okay. We're going to get through this commercial. We just got to bake a pizza. Okay. It's got a recipe. I'm just going to screen grab it and send it to everybody.
Twisties. More twisties.
There's somebody dancing in the corner of my screen right now. I don't know how to get that off.
I'm sorry, everybody. Let me see. Let me copy paste blind season.
We see little bird movers go to the move nest and take all the ladybird stuff out to move it to another tree branch. The brokenhearted regular robin watches.
Jesus Christ, I'm ruining that bird's life. I'm so sorry.
The okay. mailman is putting a police tape around the edge of the house. Do not enter.
Okay, well, he's double dipping in a profession. He doesn't need to be putting police tape around my house. Look, I'm sorry, everybody. I'm just going to forward you the casting email. So just put your email. Okay, I signed you all up for twisties on accident.
No,
okay.
No. God damn it.
Sorry.
Why did you get my credit card number? I'm getting text from Chase.
Sorry.
Fuck. I hit one. I accepted the charges.
Wait. You've given me a virus. I can't close out of this window. It won't let me close out of the window.
To be fair, that's not a virus. It's one of the perks of twisties. It overrides everything else.
My student loans have all kicked back in. I paid those years ago.
Oops. Yeah, sorry.
We see the bird has put a little hat down on the ground and he's singing, clapping his wing, trying to like busk and make a little coinage for his kids.
Did the bird lose its job too? I'm so
looks like he lost his nest.
Well, it seems like he could still work. I don't know. I'm sorry I got that bird fired. Look, I am sorry, everybody. I would just want to be in this commercial and I'm sorry. I apologize for ruining everybody's lives with this infectious porn.
So we're making pizza?
Yeah, we're making pizza. Let's see. They gave me a copy of the script. They can send that out to everybody. Josh, you'll be the pizza delivery guy, it looks like. And I just need somebody to be the person picking the pizza up.
Then what the fuck am I doing?
What are you doing?
I'm the delivery. Oh, I see.
You're coming to the house. You're going to deliver it to the house.
Okay.
And I'm the horny housewife?
Yes.
Are you sure this is a commercial? Is like Domino's?
Yeah. What are you sending us?
We just cut from the hard cut from this to a commercial on a TV. It just says it's just two people fucking, and then at the end it says Twisty's Pizza.
I can't believe I didn't get it.
All right, let's get to the meat part of the podcast, where the guest shares a true meaty story from the life from their life. Andy, you're a first timer here on the meat, so we're gonna have you go first, if you don't mind. What would you like to talk about? I'm looking forward to this, by the way.
I think you might have even heard part of this story, a tiny fraction of this story. You know.
Great. Now I'll feel bad if I don't remember it. But go ahead.
No. Okay. So. And it's not on a scale of meatiness. It's medium.
Medium meatiness.
We'll say. This is the story of when I followed my, I had a girlfriend and I followed her to Italy. So she and I went to the same high school. And we, in high school, we never really got together, but after she went to college, she went to UCLA. I went to Santa Cruz. I don't know, Santa Cruz being like a hippie school.
I was going to ask if that was the case back then.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Like more so, I think more, it was holding up the flame that Berkeley in the 60s it had gone out, but in Santa Cruz in the 80s was still burning bright. I as a side note, we did a sit-in where we closed the dean's office because we were protesting them not giving tenure to a women's study professor, and there's a picture of me in the San Jose Mercury News like camped out in front of the
building
in a sit-in. Oh wow.
And that was pretty in the 80s, or wasn't that's not the most, you know, that there's not a classically 80s thing to do, but in Santa Cruz, there is still a lot of that going on.
It's awesome.
But also maybe, I don't know what, to me, kind of like UCLA is probably a superior educational institution. Santa Cruz is a little offbeat. I personally loved it, but you know, Kristen was smarter than I was. This is my girlfriend, and she was, you know, got into UCLA. I probably couldn't have got into UCLA if I'd wanted to. So she, and I say my girlfriend, we hooked up that summer when, like, you know, between sophomore and junior year. And she was about to go off to Italy with like the official program from UCLA, which, you know, it was like just part of their school program. You can do a semester abroad, or might have been a year abroad. So she, you know, so we were together the summer, and then she left for Italy and I went back to Santa Cruz. So it was probably a summer fling. And for her, it's like she's moving on to hang out with Italian guys or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, big chapter in her life. Like, she's moving on. And I went to Santa Cruz. And
can I pause you for a second?
Yeah.
So in your, I want to know about, like, in high school, was this someone that you always had like a crush on or something? Or was this like a friend that turned into a little fling? Or
it was, yeah, she would. We traveled in sort of the same friend circles or had a lot of overlap, but she was probably a little out of my league. I sort of thought she was much like cleverer and just sort of had a little more going on. And I was, you know, reading my Spider-Man comics and being a nerd and maybe not as popular. I don't know. Anyway, so I think I had a bit of a thing for her. I don't think it was reciprocated. And then somehow during that summer, we, you know, we were both, well, I guess she, I think, lived on the dorms or away from home. Anyway, we were both living in our parents' houses in Manhattan Beach and somehow went to a party or whatever. And we got together. So
that's kind of a dream come true. In a lot of, like, not to harp on the point too much, but I can think of people that I knew in high school that it was like, if I had yeah. 2 years later and like been like, hey, we're hanging out. This is happening.
Yeah.
I get where, I just wanted to get where you were at in this.
Yeah. And looking back, it's probably like the glory days of those, that kind of thing where people could, like the possibility of hooking up or the, you know, of meeting potential flames or whatever. Anyway, but for me, I think I'm a super romantic deep down, like probably too much so. So I went to Santa Cruz and I enrolled in an Italian class at there. Mm-hmm. And I started writing Kristen every week, probably two or three times a week. Mm-hmm. I get these... So back in those days, you could buy these like aerograms or something like that. There's these blue things and with postage included that you could send to Europe, and they just like fold two ways and fold over. And so they were pretty cheap, and I would every few times a week take it like right on this, the front part, right? Like how my life's going and da, 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 I miss you. And then on the back kind of thing, I would do a... a serial cartoon strip of the adventures. Well, I don't remember who my character was, but it was clearly Kristen. It was a girl who was in Italy and she was a superhero and doing all this stuff. And I wrote it as best I could in Italian.
Wow.
And
Jesus Christ.
And it was like, looking back, it was like, I wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of that. That's it's pretty friggin' emotionally like heavy that I'm like, I'm not an artist, I don't draw, but I was like pretty good. You know what I mean? I do like strips that were like
you learned.
You know, yeah, like have a close up of something, somebody's hand or a gun or something. Like it was pretty artistic and it was dramatic. They went, you know, I'd have like, I don't know, eight panels each time and they had an arc and I was like way intensely into this. So, and then I came up with the idea, probably simultaneously all this stuff, but soon after that I was going to visit her. I was going to, go to Italy. And so as if you think I'm like this albatross that she left in the States to live her fantastic to live a new life in Italy, I'm like, she's like, here I come. Trailing along.
How many correspondences were you getting back here?
I'd say four of mine to one of hers, you know.
But you're doing three a week.
Yeah. So maybe every other week from her, like a good, like she didn't ghost me. Like she could have, you know,
he wrote you back.
Ended the relationship. Yeah. So mm-hmm. She was writing back. She was busy doing her own stuff. I learned through this process, but a life lesson is that like long distance relationships are just impossible. But especially in those days, because like getting to a phone was a, you know, a rare opportunity. It had, you know, it would cost a lot of money for these overseas calls. And so we talked to each other once every month or something. And then that phone call, you'd like listen to every word and every nuance and it'd be like all, you know, oh, she was a little down that day. Mm-hmm. And so I'd write letters and stuff and to address the fact that she was down that last time I talked to her, but that was probably for her just a passing thing. And I'm like, and meanwhile, I'm obsessing on it for the next month until I talk to her again. So it's really, it was just really weird. It was very, I learned from this whole experience that that kind of relationship is really just two one-sided relationships. It's just two people have whatever they have in their own head. And there's not a lot of overlap. It's just like, so anyway, I came up with a scheme, not to make things simple. So I came up with a plan that I was going to go through the school on a study project, like she was, except the Santa Cruz didn't offer anything like that. But the cool thing about Santa Cruz is you could do whatever you wanted if you were pretty motivated. So I was at the time, I think, like a social study or sociology. I started as a women's studies major. I ended as a math major. I went through a bunch of things. I can't remember what I was at this moment, but I had something to do with politics and sociology. And so I got the one of the professors I had at Santa Cruz was a also the mayor of Santa Cruz, a socialist mayor, like Bernie Sanders. I think Bernie Sanders and this guy were the two socialist mayors in the 80s. Huh. So, and he signed off on my project to go to Italy and like interview, you know, the Communist Party and the Socialist Party and the Social Democratic Party. And just, you get a, because the Communist Party had just, which was not a like, was like a, I don't know how to describe it. It wasn't like a classic Communist Party. They were a, they had a brief moment where they were like a popular party and they had like 35% representation and stuff like that in parliament. So it was kind of interesting. I thought, oh, I'll go see what's that about if I can. So all that being like the most elaborate, like Ocean's 11 scheme to just go meet my summer fling girlfriend. So I did all that. I figured it all out. I had taking the Italian from this really cool woman who lived in Milan and was kind of a radical or former radical. I think in the 60s or 70s, she was like a radical student and she had a lot of radical student friends. And that was kind of like a perfect in for me for what I wanted to study. And so she like set me up at her boyfriend's, you know, who lived in Milan. I was staying at this like apartment in Milan when I, you know, moved there and, you know, and I was totally like on my own. I was hanging out with her friends. She was there for a little bit of it, but not most. And so I'm like, whatever, floundering my way through Italy, barely can, you know, I've had two semesters of Italian, barely can speak, blah, blah, blah. And then so a couple of weeks in, I got on the train and headed out to see Kristen. And, you know, this is like the big, like I, my mind, I did this all for you, babe. I'm like, here I am. And so it was, well, first of all, I'd never been on a train and I'd never been, I didn't know how that worked exactly. I was really, I grew up in LA where I really never even took buses or trains around here even. So I didn't know how you can like tell which station you were at. Anyway, I ended up overshooting going to Venice, which is a couple stops past, but then I figured out how to come back and blah, blah, blah. But now I'm like 5 hours late. And I go to her like place, which is like this enclave of American students have the separate dorm in Padova. So it's UCLA students, but it's all American, different places. And like ding dong. And then she didn't seem like upset that I was late, or even did she know I was coming that day for sure? I don't know. It didn't seem like she was too, like I thought she might be sad that I was late, but she wasn't. It was a little chilly. It was a little weird. She was, you know, welcoming, but it was like, it was weird and not and awkward. And what? It was just a weird scene too, because I was like immersed in Italian and hanging out with Italians and like learning the language pretty quickly. And this enclave was a bunch of Americans who just talked English to each other all day long and just shit talked the Italians and just like what a bunch of idiots they are and how everything sucks and they'd rather not be there. I'm like, that's a weird vibe. So anyway, so we're...
That's the most UCLA thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. Do that.
Yeah.
The Santa Cruz guy was digging in.
Yeah. UCLA.
I was in the deep end and they were all playing in the shallow end. So
you went to Venice on accident. I mean, Jesus.
Anyway, so the upshot, the kind of culmination of all this, of the thing, the moment when I knew, like, this was all in my head and not in hers, was we were like a day later. What's the newspaper called? International something. I can't remember. Anyway, she was doing the crossword in the American. There was one American newspaper that came out.
The American Times?
Yeah, something like that.
That is the thing. Yeah.
It was all over Europe, and there was pretty much in those days just like one, you know, there was like one thing you read, and it was, you know, digest of Washington Post, New York Times, and all this stuff. And she was doing a crossword, and I was sort of looking over her shoulder, and I suggested an answer to one of the clues, and she was like, you know, I really just like doing crosswords alone. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and to me, I was like, okay. you know. 3 months of this story, cartoons, planning to come here, crazy trip, blah blah blah. Like that's how you're gonna be. So that kind of like, I don't know, set the whole relationship in focus. And so that's it. I mean, that basically, I still kind of am proud that I stuck with it. You know, that my Italian's better than hers by far.
Boom.
Yeah. And, you know, the woman I eventually married, we do crosswords together every single day.
Yeah. Good. So. Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Is that a sweet thing, or is that you testing it every day? I think you should put a...
I don't mind. It's funny how, yeah, we do the New York Times and the LA Times puzzle every single day. And it's like, as a team, we're just like, you know, I know which one she's going to get automatically. And then sometimes she surprises me. Sometimes I surprise her. And it's just like a, you know, it's like a well-oiled machine at this point. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. That's an amazing story.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I relate to the story in some ways, because I've definitely been in those situations where I'm more into it than the other person, or I don't know, like even you saying like the four letters to one letter is like, I can relate in terms of like texts these days, or like even phone calls. I'm not like, you know, that different from my experience isn't that different from your experience, but it is funny. Like everything you're saying is just exaggerated I don't know. Like if I was like the feeling of waiting for someone to text you back and being like, is this happening? And then they give you one, you're like, oh good. But like, imagine waiting for a letter coming from Italy for someone you can't speak to in a world where you can't even really imagine it, because you have no way of sending each other photos unless you do that on purpose.
I don't think technology has answered the problem of relationship. I think all relationships are long distance relationships, because you get no matter how quickly you can communicate, there's always going to be these weird gaps and people second guessing, especially texts are so my theory, I have a theory about texts, which is if they had invented texts first in history, nobody would use them. Like you'd be texting on your phone, and then somebody has invented, oh, I can now talk on this thing. Oh, really? What are you texting for? Like, why? You know what I mean? It's like, it's a dumb way to use it. It's like a primitive. And with voice, you can have nuance. You can have, you know, I was joking. You can tell, you know, and with texting, there's so much, so many problems in modern life are because
because there is zero nuance, zero, like sarcasm is doesn't read, like, or everything is so terse, even if it's not, it's just so cold,
it sounds dismissive, you know? Or something.
I've had friends for years, like I've even sometimes Jake will text me and I'll be like, is he mad at me? I'm like,
yeah,
am I talking about? Probably not, but it maybe is. Yeah.
Probably like at a stop sign or something. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah. You never know where people are.
So how did that end? Did you have to like go back to where were you staying? I forgot where you were staying, Milan?
Yeah, I was staying in Milan mostly. I stayed in Rome a little piece of this trip. It was an amazing, it's one of the things I'm most proud of in my life to have like done this very cool trip. Cause it's just something as a traveler, I like seeing new places, but I don't really like being a tourist. I love if you throw me into like a laundromat or whatever somewhere, or being in a place where everyone, you know, real life happens is so much more, interesting to me. So I managed to pull it off for, I think, 5 months of being in Milan and Rome. And I probably tried to write something, some sort of thesis. I'm not sure if I got any credit out of this thing at the end of the day. I think it was from that perspective, a bust, but I mean,
they made you do math. They're like,
yeah, I switched over.
That's amazing. That I don't know. I guess it speaks to the what you can get people to do if they're just a little bit in young love. but also, like, I don't know. That's so much cooler that you got to do that whole trip, and at the end of it, you were like, it didn't work out, but you still got to. I don't know. Still got 5 months in Italy. That's amazing.
Oh, for sure. I'm actually, you know, with the little distance, very grateful to her. Like, you know, that, I mean, it didn't turn out to be a big romantic thing, but she was a catalyst for me to add a big piece of my life. I'm talking
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I got your letter. I got your letter, Roy.
Yeah.
Why am I jumping off a building on the envelope? I'm just confused. Like, there was a whole story, and I like it showed me in the airport. It showed me like on the ship going across the channel. Showed me at the Eiffel Tower. Like, it was really cute.
Yeah.
But then it shows like me like flying in the air off of a building.
Well, you're testing out your superpowers.
Oh,
you got superpowers.
Oh, I somehow missed that along the way. Like, okay. So I have superpowers.
You have superpowers. Okay. Was that not clear in the storyline?
No, because like up to then it was just like the normal trip.
Right.
And then I'm flying off of a building.
Okay, well, you get bit by a radioactive bat.
Did that happen on the ship or like?
It happened on the ship. Yeah. It happened on the ship. You were sitting alone because you're not interested in finding anybody romantically out there. So you sat alone on the ship, which gave room for a radioactive bat to bite you.
Actually, you know, they made us have dinner at a table. Like we had a table assignment. So I ate with the same group of people every night.
Oh.
Yeah. So I missed that, I guess.
I didn't know.
But it's okay.
That.
Okay, so I'm a superhero now, and here in France.
Uh-huh. You're Batwoman, but not like a rich person who chooses to have powers. You're a half bat, half woman. You're nocturnal, so you're up all night. Can't really find anybody to settle down with while you're out there abroad because you're busy fighting crime in the middle of the night.
Hey, Julie, some of us are going to play some Flip Cup on the in the lobby. Are you interested in doing something like that? Or you want to come on hang out with us?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, what?
I'm going to wrap up this phone call, but yeah.
What?
Yeah. Save a cup for me.
There's plenty of them.
I don't think Batwoman does Flip Cup. I don't think Batwoman does Flip Cup.
Well, I do.
Sure.
Roy, I've done Flip Cup every night since I've been here.
Okay.
I've played Flip Cup.
That doesn't really work with my narrative.
I've been playing Flip Cup.
He snaps a whole, like a whole handful of pencils in his hand.
It's a very mixed group. I'm friends with guys who aren't gay.
Batwoman's friends are a part of the gay alliance. They're very supportive.
I have a lot of gay friends. I'm just saying that like you might be imagining me all by myself and as a nocturnal Batwoman, but I'm having a great time with my friends here in France.
Okay. I can weave that into the storyline, I think.
Knock, knock, knock.
Oh, hold on just a second.
Bonjour. I am a native of France, as you can tell, and I heard that you are doing a flip.
Oh, flip game. Flip cup. They've started in the lobby. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, and we are so curious out here what happens inside this, behind these walls. There's so much laughter, but you've been, to be honest, sort of rude to my friends and not let us even talk to you at all. So I thought, I'll try.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hold on just a second. I'm just putting my hand over the receiver so the guy that I was seeing before I left doesn't hear, but like he's a little demanding and he doesn't want me to hang out with guys. So what's your name?
Shouldn't you be holding the other end? I think you can hear every word.
Oh shit.
You're going to want to get out of there. The Batwoman's sworn enemies are French men.
Oh my God.
It's part of the narrative. It's part of the narrative.
I can hear him over the speaker.
This call is going to be so expensive.
It's okay.
Very sweet as in general. French men.
The French are the villains in the story. So for the narrative, those French hotties are not to be trusted.
Well, I've just, you know, Roy, I gotta go play Flip Cup. I've got to teach this guy how to play Flip Cup. I'm here for a reason. Yeah. I'm here for a reason.
And we cut to Flip Cup.
Okay.
It sounds like a nightmare, Julie.
No. It's real easy. Just take the cup and you flip it. That's not the rules
of the game.
Oh, what?
Your demanding boyfriend who's making you into a Batwoman.
Right, right.
And trying to write. You know, I'm an American man, as you can tell.
I could tell with your accent.
Yeah, and I'm staying in this dorm situation too. You know, the way to get back at him is to write him a narrative, I think.
Okay. So send him notes with the whole story written on the envelope?
Yeah, make it like something, I don't know, that will help him, motivate him to leave you alone. Make him like Jack-Off Man or something like that.
Good idea.
Cut to Jake opening his mail.
A letter. Oh. Oh, it's from Julian. There's a little comic here. Let's see. Get. Oh, look, that's me. That's me writing my little comic. Oh, I got bit by a horny dog. What the hell?
We cut back to Flip Cup. What did you do? You made him into a horny dog.
Right. I gave him a dog penis, you know, and I gave him long floppy ears.
What? And where is this coming from?
I made him eat out of a bowl, like on the floor. Like, I don't know. I was just having fun. Like he had a whole narrative for what was happening to me. I just decided to put him in like weird situations.
That is bizarre. That is really weird. Yeah, I don't know if he's going to get the message on that one, but...
Pardon me, if opens the window, I know you have not actually formally let me in, but I could not help but read your beautiful comic book from afar, and I must say you are a genius.
Oh, Guillaume, thank you.
See, there's a dog on his leg, nipping at him.
Get back, you. This is my little dog. His name is Jerry Lewis. After the genius comedian.
American. Jerry Lewis is humping your leg.
Yes. It is an honor. And honestly, you're book brings back such joyful memories of my time with him.
Like, we cut to a phone call with Julian Roy. What the hell? Horny dog man died and then was replaced by a French horny dog man?
Yeah, I'm seeing a French guy.
What the hell?
I'm really sorry, Jake. Like, the distance just, like, it's really hard to make this work. And I'm here and I'm 21 and like I'm horny.
Yeah. I'm eating out of a dog bowl and licking my balls over here.
Well, Jake Roy, come on, get back to work. We need the new Batwoman. The new issue's due in 2 hours.
Okay.
America's hooked on this.
You inspired me to write Batwoman, and it is a blockbuster success.
Well, congratulations. I think that's great. I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
I'm sure you'll meet a nice girl.
I hope so. I hope that I do. I guess this will be the last issue of Batwoman as she decides to spread her wings, as it were. Fly
but don't
away.
You do that. I'm Paulina from across the hallway. Don't kill her. Make her live. I live every week to read your comic.
What's a five-letter word? Five-letter word for demon. Five-letter word for demon.
I'm sorry, are you talking to me?
I'm just saying it out loud. I'm going to see if anybody catches it.
I'm just buzzing this table.
Yeah, okay. Can you think of a five-letter word for demon? Here in the TV Guide crossword puzzle.
Devil?
Oh, of course. Of course. Devil.
Does that fit?
Yeah, that does fit. That seems really obvious, but oh, okay. Thanks. Thank you.
Could be Satan.
Back off.
Satan doesn't fit. I needed the V. So
okay.
But thank you. Thank you, both of you, for helping me out.
Thank
you. Okay, yeah, thanks. Thanks. You really helped me out.
Welcome. Okay. I've never had this before.
Had this, what?
this energy that we're sharing, this is incredible. Like, I prayed last night. I prayed just to general deities. I said, I just prayed to whoever was listening. I said, I'm so lonely. Show me a sign. Send someone into my life, dear deities, that will change it for me. And my soulmate is what I asked for. And here we are. You asked me, a busboy, to help you with a crossword. I nail the answer. This stupid fucking chef gets it wrong. Right? No, we agree. Harry sucks, right? He's not a part of this.
Well, yeah, Satan was like five letters, but yeah, it was not a great answer. Satan's not a demon.
He's okay, like, I was demon. Just trying to help. I was trying to help.
Hey, those eggs
What's
are getting overproached.
What's more important here is that you were praying to, like, did you say general deities?
To God as I understand him, yeah.
And I, when I asked, what's a five-letter word for demon? I wasn't talking to you. I was just talking to see, like who might catch my question, but you caught it.
I caught it.
And so I really do see that this is the beginning of something very, very special. Wow.
Hot in this restaurant.
I'm a little dizzy. Like,
is everything okay? I thought we were, I left your check, but now I see you're talking to Chris. Is everything all right here? Do you need anything?
I see you're talking to Chris.
Chris and I know each other.
Oh, great. Okay. Let me know if you need anything. Oh, is that that's a TV Guide crossword?
Hey. It's a TV Guide crossword puzzle. Yeah.
Hey, Barry.
Okay. Yeah. Devil, that you'll see. I already did that one. It's actually Raven. It's a kind of a classical kind of demon. They won't look at devil is an obvious answer, but yeah, what they're looking for is Raven.
Demon is Raven.
It's Raven for the TV guy. Yes. You have to go deeper. It's based on the show.
Barry
Raven.
Barry, you know, if I could have placed bets on you swooping in here to ruin my day, I would have.
Chris, shut up. Barry?
Huh?
I really didn't notice before when you brought me my cachao e pepe that we might have a connection, but now that you talk with such authority about the etymology of this word and this idea, like, I'm seeing you in a way that I never thought I'd see you.
I didn't dare give fuel to my hopes when I knew the spark was there, but I just couldn't follow through. I spent all last night, I was up all night praying to the Incan gods.
Incan?
Incan.
Oh, wow.
Give me that fucking crossword. the regular, it's Cheers Bar, four letters. It's got to be Ron with two N's, right?
Ron. Please, Chris, you're just embarrassing yourself at this point.
Ah, yeah. Seinfeld's neighbor. Peanut, of course.
Snitch. Barry, listen to this one. Travolta's Barbarino. From Welcome Back, Cotter.
I'm trying to think of barber shops I know. Floyd's, Rudy's, Supercut.
No.
Satan.
Barry knows it. We'll say it together. Vinny. Yes.
Let's go.
Vinny, yes. Barbarino. You wouldn't know that, Chris. You wouldn't know that.
Well, I don't think Barry did either.
I did, because I finished it earlier today, as I already said. Successfully completed this.
Look, Chris, I'm sorry, but it's over.
Just when I told my parents to expect wedding bells.
Well, that's weird.
we got to Chris's parents. Chris's goes over to his parents' house. They're both working on a maze on the back of a cereal box.
I thought we were doing wedding bells.
Nope. We're not. You will not be hearing wedding bells. Okay. It was a weird thing to promise.
What?
Focus. Your pen just slipped. You've ruined the maze.
Oh no. Oh, honey,
you're gonna have to buy a whole nother box of Apple Jacks.
Grab us a jumble.
Would you get your mom and dad a jumble?
God, oh, fine. I'll get you a jumble. Got it out of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Mailroom madness. Okay.
Did she leave you for somebody else? Is that what happened?
Of course she did.
That's what always happens. That's the story.
Oh, found envelope.
Focus for a second. Quit getting lost in your jumbles. Okay, I'm trying to tell you something here. I don't know how to find love. I've tried everything. I tried Sudokus, but they're too fucking hard. I've tried a Rubik's Cube. It's too hard. I tried crosswords of all kinds. They were too hard. I finally saw someone doing the TV Guide crossword. It was a slam dunk of a clue, a five-letter word for demon. I thought it had to have been devil. I prayed to the God as I understood him to make it work. And then who comes into the picture? Hotshot Barry.
Sweetie, you've never been good at puzzles. I'm sorry. You just, you don't have the puzzle gene.
Neither do you.
I'll get the door.
Oh, was that the door?
I think so.
Hello, sir. Hello. I'm a co-worker of your son.
Oh.
If I may.
Yeah, please.
Barry.
Oh, Barry.
Oh, Barry. Barry. Come on in. Sit down. We're doing a jumble. We have some, we've got a word maze over here. We have a few different options.
Oh, great. I love mazes. Oh, I see what you've done. Yeah, I think left.
Stop it, Barry. You're not going to steal my...
Well, hello.
Wow.
Hello, Barry.
Stop.
Please, sit down. Sit down. This is my puzzle chair.
Dad, don't put my Letterman jacket on Barry.
Barry, have a seat. Can I get you a beer, Barry?
I recognize checks when I see them. It's the Barry? Same box I filled out. Yeah, I'll
would
take
you,
a beer.
Would you like some buttered noodles?
Buttered noodles? It's God. Not Tuesday. You're spoiling him.
I just look at him and I think this is a man that wants mm-hmm. buttered noodles.
You guys are so great. Can okay, I have you yourself. As my own and introduce my darling bride to be?
No.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Would you like to see the room that you'll stay in when you come to visit?
What, my room?
I don't know you Chris. Anymore.
Dad, what are you so annoyed?
Chris.
Dad, Daddy, look at Dad. I'll do the maze. He grabs the box of Apple Jacks and stabs the pen through it. the maze is fixed.
No, that doesn't work.
Look at in the mailroom thing. I found it. Here it is.
Barry, when Chris was a boy, he cheated at Candyland.
Yeah.
What a pathetic loser.
Hey. Well, we're at the end of our rope. We're at the end of our rope with how to solve climate change.
Damn it.
President.
Damn it.
President Biden's not going to do anything drastic unless we sort of nudge him a little bit. You know, he's the kind of president that's going to need a little pulling in the right direction.
Okay.
Listen, we've tried everything. I've kicked the tires on everything. This might get complicated because he's a married man with kids, and he's also, I believe, 78. He's up there.
Spit it out. What are we doing?
Okay, here's my plan. I think we should get him to fall in young love.
Fallen young love?
Yeah, we need him to kind of feel that sort of yearning in his heart that you feel as a teenager, where the whole world sort of revolves around one person and you're willing to go to any lengths to sort of appease that person or to sort of win them over.
And this will solve climate change?
Well, I'm thinking, yeah, the one that comes, I don't know if someone like a Greta, a Greta Thunberg, someone who would demand that we take drastic action now to sort of curb our carbon emissions, to save Greenland, to, I don't know, I'm spitballing. I don't see what you guys are doing. I mean, you pitched you pitched clean coal, Karen. I mean, what the fuck?
That's what they're doing in Scandinavia right now.
It doesn't exist.
I know. God damn it.
Hey, how's my favorite environmental team coming? I'm just heading back to the White House that I check in with you guys before.
Hey, for President Biden.
Hello.
We're doing pretty good. I think we got a lot of exciting ideas.
Okay. Just remember, keep it incrementalist. Don't want to have too much at one time. There's for a 78-year-old man to digest it, you know, we don't want to freak him out. So just make sure we go in bite-sized chunks.
Bite-sized chunks.
Tell me about when you met Jill.
It's actually very tragic. I'd rather not go into it, to be honest. But I was a different man.
Good one. What the hell are you doing?
Oh yeah, his first wife died or something, right?
Jesus Christ!
He wanders off to the window and goes down the shade and just stares out.
Oh my God!
Jeez, what have Josh? You done?
I don't know. I thought that was a home run. I was trying to mine his brain to see what love was like. Now,
if young love was going to make him more environmentally friendly, reminding him of lost love, who knows what you've done?
Am I crazy? Is his wife's name not Jill? Am I fucking insane?
It is.
But that's his second wife. He was a widower. His first wife.
Oh God, he's over in the
terrible car accident.
Jesus Christ, he's over in the
my wife died Reddit. In a terrible car accident with one.
One of his kids,
children, I believe.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
God. I wasn't asking about that. God damn it.
Oh, God damn it, Josh. How did you get this fucking position?
If it wasn't for meeting Jill, I don't know what I would have done. My heart, I thought, was shut forever. And yet, when I met Jill, it blossomed again. Like I was
Mr. President.
Like I was a young buck.
Yes.
Just running free through the, like a gazelle.
Okay. Seems like we're rebounding here. This seems okay.
I remember those days so clearly. I thought all was lost. And now I'm alive. I'm young. I'm fancy free.
Look, he's planting a flower.
Okay. Pretty good.
But those days are so long ago. I just.
No.
Can't call that to mind again. So let's keep things nice and easy, folks, and let's not rock any boats.
Yeah, let's not.
I'll be back at the White House mulling over what you've said.
God,
you really he spiraled there.
Yeah, he ruminates on the things we say. I didn't expect that. We would ruminate on what he said.
Yeah. I don't know where he's landing. He planted a flower, but he could just as likely build a time machine. He's volatile.
I didn't see that. He revved a Hummer at one point.
I don't understand. So you're planning on creating a woman to as a distraction for him so that we can make larger leaps in terms of climate change?
Karen, have you ever been in love?
Is this some?
No.
Oh no! What have you done?
Don't
she
litter,
goes
Karen.
Over to the window and ponders out of it. God,
Well, it was a rhetorical question, sort of. I figured everyone's been in love once. We're all, you know, in our middle ages, in the middle age. Karen, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Stop playing with fire.
I didn't think it was that hard. I thought it was a bit of an outlandish idea. But the idea is we get him to fall in young love with someone who demands he takes drastic action to fix the climate. And maybe, just maybe, that could tilt the scales in a way where we could, you know, fight this thing. I don't know.
Hey, team, I'm back.
Oh, Jesus. Hello.
I've just been working on this in my garage. It's a time travel machine.
Whoa.
I'm going to go back to the day I met Jill.
Oh, my gosh.
And
what does it run on? What kind of fuel?
It's solar. And it's, wow. It's got no carbon footprint. And the great thing is, when I go back, I'm also going to murder oil executives in their sleep. And replace them with, you know, environmental types that we could.
Seems like two trips, Joe.
You know, you've got a good point. But the great thing about this is that I can go twice. Like I can, it's hard to explain, but I can beam myself back and then come back again. So I can, there can be a Joe in love version of me in 1978 and also a Joe environmental terrorist. So,
whoa.
I'm going to solve it all.
We're right with you, Mr. President.
Yeah.
This is a much better idea than anything that Josh would have thought up.
Well, excuse me. I didn't know time machines were on the table and that the president was building one himself.
Oh, hush up and buckle up.
I'm coming.
There's room for all of us.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know if I know I'm nervous. I'm going to ruin the interaction with you. They go back in time and they go back to the diner where Joe goes.
Oh my God. 1977.
Oh God. Whew, all right. I'm still my age, I guess. Whew, I'm going to get a chocolate malt here. He goes up and bumps into Jill. Oh, hey. Oh, hey.
Hello.
I probably shouldn't be talking to you.
Oh, why is that?
Seriously, even this is bad.
Stranger.
Don't.
Damn it. I don't have a chance with her anymore.
I don't know if this is good or. I don't know.
I'm 78. This whole thing is fucked up. I'm leaving.
Don't leave.
You
don't
guys
leave.
Be happy with whatever life you can have.
He slaps himself in the back of the head. He slaps his younger self. I guess I'll kiss Jill. What's her maiden name? Mwah. Is that weird?
All of a sudden, all of the trees turn on, I guess, are set on fire. The sky turns black.
Oh, this because of Joe Biden?
Water starts rising. They're like waist deep in water.
Josh!
Let's get back to the meat part of the podcast where a guest shares a true meaty story from their lives. Julie, you're up. What would you like to talk about?
Okay. When I was 25 and I was living in New York, my first apartment in New York was like a classic Lower East Side stereotypical bathtub in the kitchen, a real shithole apartment. Mm-hmm. It had its charm, but like it was rodent infested and really bad. And I worked very sporadically, but I finally got a job that was a little more stable. So I had a little more money. So I was looking for a roommate, and the Village Voice was the way that you would find an apartment back then. And everything I looked at and the couple of people I talked to, I was like, this is not good. And one day I was walking home from the train station And I run into this girl that I knew from my hometown, from Lubbock, Texas. And she's a dancer, and she was looking for an apartment. She was moving to New York, and I was like, we're going to live together. This is perfect. This is meant to be. And it made me so happy because it was somebody that I knew from smoking pot in high school. So I find the apartment, and it's like way over in the East Village on Avenue D, which was not at that time, not good at all. And like near Houston. And we move in, and I learned pretty quickly, you know, that she like had some little habits and eccentricities, that she was like, there was a lot of eggshell walking around on eggshells. She didn't like it if I had company over, and she was stressed out because she was having a hard time finding a job. And then she finally gets a part-time job. And then I think that she's teaching dance or something. So, so we're both working. Mm-hmm. We hung out a lot. We would go drinking like in the East Village and whatnot. And we're good friends. But as time wore on, it just kind of got harder and harder to live with her because she was she was so demanding, and she was I just felt like I was walking around on eggshells all the time. One day I'm at work and I get sick, and I come home early, and there's a message on the answering machine. Debbie only worked for half of the day, so she was usually home when I got home. Mm-hmm. And so I listened to the answering machine, and it's our landlord. And he's like, if you don't call me back today, we're going to start eviction proceedings. And I was like, what the fuck? And so I called the landlord, and they were like, since you've moved in, we've only received one rent check a month from you. Mm-hmm. So only I had been sending in rent, and they're like, we've received, and they like, we've received checks for Julie Brister, but we have not received a check for the other person. And I was like, well, that is impossible. I know that she's been paying. So when she gets home, I'm like, Debbie, what the fuck? Like what's happening? And she goes, it must be some mistake. It must be a huge mistake. So she was like, let's go to Citibank. So we go to the Citibank that's over by NYU on LaGuardia Place. And she's like really convincing me, like on the way there, that this is some kind of bank fuck up every month. But as we're waiting in line and she's talking to the teller, like, you reach a moment when you live in New York City, like when you move to New York, you see people like fighting on the street, like yelling, you see people losing their shit. And I love it. Like this, that's to me, it's the thing I have always loved the most about New York. It's like, you see these people in this like emotionally exposed moments, just like screaming at each other with no privacy, and they don't care. And as I'm standing there, like, I just started saying, you're a liar. You're a liar. And I just start screaming, you're a liar. And the bank is like, get the fuck out. So we like go out on the street, and I'm like, you're a liar. You're lying to me. And she's like, I am a liar. Since she admits it. So we go back home. She took this part-time job. She didn't have enough money to pay rent. She still bought like makeup at Lancome and clothes from French Connection, but she like did not pay her rent. And she calls her mother, and her mom comes up from Texas to collect her. And she packs up her stuff and mails it back to Texas. And that was it. Like, she had to move back to Texas. So I had to find, like, in a hurry, I had to find an apartment that I couldn't afford to live in by myself. And I had no money. And I'm at work one day, and the loading dock calls. They're like, we have a package for you here at the loading dock. And I was like, oh, sweet. And I go down and it's one of Debbie's boxes of her belongings somehow didn't make it to Texas. So I like there was no way that I could like take this huge box on the subway home. So I drag it upstairs. I open it up and it's like clothes. It's like pictures. It's like just personal stuff. And I call up to the development office. I worked at the New York Philharmonic at the time. And I called up to the development office. I'm like, who, any girls that are like a size 4'6", come down to the audience services department. We open her box and I just like gleefully give her clothes away to everybody and washed my hands of that experience. I didn't live with anybody else until I like lived with a guy that I got married to. But like, that was the last time I had a roommate. I'm talking real shit.
Okay, you're not going to believe me, but I promise I'm telling you the truth. Every month I take my rent check and I walk it down the stairs, across the courtyard. I hold the check between my two fingers and I reach out and I try to give it to my landlord. And right as I'm doing that, it's been a different thing every time, but a squirrel, a bird, an owl.
Vinny, listen to yourself.
What are you saying? What are you? You don't believe me?
You're lying to yourself. You're lying to everybody. You're lying to yourself. If you believe this for 1 second, you're lying to yourself.
I believe my own story.
Why would you? What? Okay, let's.
I don't believe my own story. An owl stole the rent check.
Squirrel. Okay, what? Go through the list.
What kind of squirrel?
25 months. Every month, it's been 25 different woodland animals.
Woodland, city, pigeon, alligator. I mean,
that's three. You got 22 more, brother.
An owl, a big pigeon.
Owl is bullshit. There's no way your fucking owl came and took your check.
That's what I said. Why do you think I'm telling you this story, okay? I wouldn't tell this story. If I were to make up a story, I wouldn't put an owl and an alligator in it.
Fucking bullshit. Excuse me. I'm sorry. We're standing in. We'll step out of the way. Okay. It's fucking bullshit.
It is not bullshit.
And this whole fucking relationship is bullshit. And you need to admit it.
It's not. I'm telling you, it's not okay. I don't know what's going on, but the worst part is these squirrels, these woodland animals. They're cashing my checks. I walked by a park in Brooklyn, and I saw a bunch of pigeons having a party, and one of them winked at me. I think that they're using my rent money to throw little pigeon parties or whatever. Somehow,
tell me the truth.
I'm trying to tell you the truth.
Tell me the truth.
I'm trying to tell you the truth.
Tell me the truth.
Okay. Here's the truth. I try to give my rent check to the owner. Every time I do it, an animal intercepts me, somehow cashes the check. Last time I was in the bank, I saw what I thought was three otters in one suit, and they had a fake ID. It was made out of logs or something, and Vinny, they showed it to the person, and they made it out.
Don't do this with every friend. I am pointing a gun at your fucking head right now. Tell me the goddamn truth. You're going insane with this fucking lie. You're going down rabbit holes. You are no longer in touch.
I wish I could go down rabbit holes because I could get one of these fucking checks that I wrote last May.
There are no parties in rabbit holes. There are no pigeon parties. This is all your insane, fevered imagination.
It isn't. It isn't.
I'm going to count to three. I'm going to blow your fucking head off.
You're going to have to blow it. You're basically telling me to lie or you'll blow my head off. I don't know what to say. What do you want me to say?
A squirrel runs up his leg and takes his wallet out of his back pocket.
No! Again! Now they won't be able to identify the body. Hey, at least least let me keep my social security card. Ah, he's already gone. Ah,
holy, what the fuck was that?
We see that squirrel run up a tree and he sees the bird from the first scene who's like hucking or whatever and like takes some money out of Josh's wallet and puts it in the little bird's hat. And
he gave the last of my money to the busking bird. I don't know what to tell you.
Busking.
Did you still believe me now? That Robin owes me $7,000. He lost half of it.
That motherfucker Robin owes you money. No, nobody of mine gets taken advantage of. That's one thing for sure.
Robin swoops down to Andy's heavy a mob guy and shits on his head.
Fucker.
Hey, we're in the city. Don't shoot at the sky.
I'm sorry. I'm losing my shit. I can't believe this. Everything you told me was fucking true.
I wouldn't lie to you. Why would I lie to you?
We see a little mouse run up Andy's inside his coat pocket and take out his little credit card. And then we see it run to a little internet cafe and enter the information onto twisties.com.
Oh, you're doomed. You're doomed. Those mice are hornier than any human. They love stepsister porn. They're going to watch all the videos. They're going to buy the premium ones. Cancel your credit card. Your marriage is ruined.
My marriage with Paulina is ruined? Just because of these fucking animals?
I think so.
It's over. I no longer want to be married to you anymore. I see in your face you look like a poor man.
God, I love that voice.
I'm going to go play flip cup with the guy downstairs.
Oh, no. Oh, man. Well...
We see that all of the stuff that has just happened is drawn out in comic book form on the back of an envelope. And there's a confused woman reading it. And then you jump off the building at the end.
Oh.
It's dated 1977. I don't know what to make of it.
Well, that's sort of, you know, last time humans were humans, I guess, you know.
Chris, get out of here. We've adopted. You're no son of ours anymore.
Huh?
We're not comic strip family. We're brain teasers and word game family.
Come
and
on.
Jumble.
Right, that'll do it for this episode of the Meat Improv. Thank you, Julie. Thank you, Andy.
Yeah, thank you.
That was so fun.
What a blast. Let's go around and you can plug whatever you'd like, whatever you want to tell our audience about. Julie, what do you got?
You can follow me on Twitter at Brista Soldier.
Brista, BRISTAH.
Yes.
Right?
I need to change it.
And then Soulja.
SOULJAH. Yeah, like now I see. This is, maybe it's time to change my handle.
I changed mine from Mr. Josh Simpson to Josh Simpson. So, you know, it can be done.
Okay, I'm going to do it.
But not before this comes out.
Yeah, not before this comes out. Yeah, follow me and then look out for a new handle. Yeah,
a rebrand.
Pandemic, yeah.
A rebrand.
Andy, what about you?
Let's see. I am on a team called German Supermarket that performs on Monday nights with We Improv. I'm on a team called the Chaperones, which is an overage 40 team. You can find them at Chaperones Improv on Facebook, I think, has some of our stuff.
Fun.
And for all your employment law needs, it's rossandmorrison.com.
Maybe, Andy. Andy's my the closest thing I have to a lawyer. I called Andy once when I was like, had a question.
Oh, good.
So, there you go. Jake.
Check out We Improv at weimprov.net or twitch.tv/weimprov. If you want to see shows, Josh and I perform Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
That's right. And then we talk about that on The Potatoes, which is our weekly bonus episode. I'm at Josh Simpson on everything, especially YouTube. That's the thing I'm trying to grow and work on. New videos every Thursday at www.youtube.com/JarshSimpson. The Meat is on all the social media stuff, at The Meat Improv, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks, everybody. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next time. Yeah.